The following programming is sponsored by MBC Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Well, Project Chaos, live from Philadelphia, 860 AM, WWDB Radio. I got a big guest today. I'm a little fired up, if you can't tell. A guy I like to call my big little brother. He's about 6'4". I'm guessing on a light day, he comes in at about 250. Big dude, just a little bit smaller than me. Goes by the name of Teddy Daniels. Maybe you heard of him. This is a guy that got shot. Shot four times in Afghanistan, eating lead for his country, Army infantry. The big story in all that is why he got shot. Now, I'm not going to tell you. He's going to tell you that part of the story. And this is a guy who comes from a military family, and I'm going to ask him to tell you a little bit about that if we have time. But let me just say this, generally speaking, why I'm so excited to talk about this story. Teddy Daniels served his country. He served it well. It came about as close as you can get to paying the ultimate sacrifice, but none of that really matters. What matters is that he paid it forward, and he paid it forward 100%. He left his bloody shirt there in Afghanistan. That's what we call paying it forward 100%. All good, right? All good stuff, and it is indeed. There's just one small problem. Teddy never quit because he's not a quitter. So he comes home and he goes to work doing what? He's going to save the country. If you haven't noticed, we got some problems. We need good leadership. My man Teddy steps up. He says, you know what? I'm going to run for lieutenant governor right here in Pennsylvania. Doggone. You know what happened then? You know that they started lying about this guy. They even accused him of stolen valor. These are people that I see never look like they get much sun, certainly never served the country, probably never did a push-up in their life. Can't even understand how a man like Teddy thinks. We're going to hear all about that. Why do I bring it up? Well, let me tie this together for you before we bring him on. The Army is now having a recruiting crisis to the point that they're talking about a draft. What? How can that be that we just went through 30 years of voluntary service with no draft, but that doesn't even tell the whole story. Look at the caliber of men that we were attracting, and you're going to hear some of that in Teddy Daniels. But look what's happening now. With military recruiting down sharply, more than half of adults under 30 years old hold a negative view of the military. Then they say here, if the free fall isn't stopped, that a draft will be necessary. Well, that's really something. By this new liberal democracy that we fought for, if you don't want to do it, they're going to force you to do it anyway. I'm going to tell you something. The fact that half of the young people are not favorable about what's going on in the military is actually good news. You know what that means? That the other half are favorable. And I'm going to tell you something. I think that for those of us veterans over about 50 years old, we're right at about 100% in our negative views about what's going on in the military right now. But this is bigger than that. It's a cultural shift. It's happening in every country around the country. Why aren't people joining the Army? Well, maybe you understand why companies aren't able to recruit people either. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what another Army veteran has to say about a fascinating perspective, Jake Baquette, I think is how you say his name. I'll get to that in a second. Welcome to Project Chaos, a radio show like no other. How can I make that claim? This journey began way back in 1990 when the Iraqi army attacked the city of Kafji. And a lot happened on that night, and it's all detailed in my new book, Victory Over Chaos. But here's how it relates to the radio show. The Iraqis attacked a multinational sector with only a few United States Marines. When the Iraqis attacked, every single one of those other nations' fighters turned and ran. They ran and deserted us and two teams of our brothers who were trapped in the city. As a result, two U.S. Army trucks and their drivers also trapped in the city. When everyone else turned and ran, we moved up closer to the city. When everyone else turned and ran, they needed volunteers to extract the personnel who were trapped. And when the commanding officer asked for volunteers to enter the city, Every single one volunteered. An absolute and striking difference. While every single one of the other fighters ran, every single one of ours did the opposite. We ran toward the fight. Here's my point. It's not that we were special because we weren't. This isn't a story about special forces or special operations. It's about a special commitment that we shared. And that commitment was that we would never give up, not on ourselves, not on each other. And we would never turn our backs on our country. It's an oath that we all share, every one of us, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. It's the one identical bond that we share. We all took the same oath of enlistment, and it does not expire. We are in a difficult time right now, a moral and leadership crisis on every level. It's chaos. Every day, a new manufactured crisis. But I have good news for you. Always been like that. This country was born out of conflict, and I want to share something very special about that, very important about that. The first book I wrote 6 years ago now, Common Sense by Thomas Paine, I translated it from Old English to Modern English. In the process, I learned a lot about the Revolutionary War and human nature. That book is very much a story in itself, but here's the point. When given the option of freedom or security, most people will choose security. Most people will play it safe, not do what's right. Most people in the face of conflict will turn and run. Well, we don't have that problem. For 250 years now, America's fighting men and women have led this country through its greatest struggles. Project Chaos is here to bring you the voice of our nation's warriors. It's not about stories. It's about sacrifice. It's not about history. It's about preserving our legacy. And I get it. There's a lot of people today who don't know our history and don't understand why this legacy is so important. Well, we can help with that, too. This is Project Chaos, a radio show like no other. It's been a real journey getting to this point, listening to talk radio, this very station when I was just 10 years old. Been my lifelong dream to be behind this microphone. In the past 6 years, I've produced over 1,600 podcasts and counting. I've published 3 books, my newest one being number 4. I say all this to tell you this. My goal is I'm honored to speak about the Marine Corps, our military, and our country, and to do it from the studios of WWDB with great guests like Teddy Daniels. My goal is simply to provide the best possible radio show with the highest level of integrity. I don't care about being the biggest or the highest paid. Since I was 17 years old and took my oath to enlist, I only ever strive to be the best I can. Welcome to Project Chaos, the radio show that brings you the mindset and perspective of our nation's warriors. I'm your host, Chris Kunkel, a United States Marine Corps veteran and author of my newest book, Victory Over Chaos, which tells the true story behind the United States Marines' battle for Kafji. If you like what you hear, please be sure to visit ProjectChaos.org. You know, last week I talked about this issue of hiring, if you will, how to attract talent. And we talked a little bit about General Mattis's book. What's the call sign Chaos? I forgot the name of the book a second. That's not good. The good general wouldn't be happy about that. Call sign Chaos, General Mattis. He spoke specifically about this. What did he say? Does anybody remember? This is the test. We'll do the Project Chaos quiz show today. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any prizes to give you, so no quiz show today. Maybe that's something we could add to the show. I don't know. But what did Mattis say? He felt so strongly about this. He didn't know any. When he wrote the book, I guarantee he didn't know anything about that Army recruiting crisis. What did he say? He said he hired for tenacity. Felt that everything else could be taught. Look at how that compares about the hiring process today. What exactly is the problem? Well, Jake Baquette, an Army veteran, former United States Senate candidate from Arkansas, there's going to be some parallels to this story. This guy was an NFL player. I think he played for the Patriots. Maybe went to the Super Bowl or something like that. Gets out and runs for office, and all of a sudden they start turning this guy into mud. Crazy. But anyway, here's what he said. He said, in our education system today, so few young people are hearing real history. Mr. Baquette said they're hearing our American heroes being represented as evil racists who are doing all these terrible things to disadvantaged people. And that really is shaping the views of America's youth and making them have less respect for our institutions, have less respect for our history, and therefore making them less liable to want to put their lives potentially on the line to serve in our country's military. Now, just compare this briefly to what's going on in the workplace. We see this shift of priorities, and I think where companies went wrong was that this idea that the customer is always right. It created a work culture that became toxic for the employees, basically that the employees have to take the abuse. Veterans have been used to this. Lopsided rules where the customer enjoys, you know, complete gratis and the employee has to follow every rule strictly. Zero integrity, and the result is complete frustration. But the bigger issue, as I see it, is there no focus on what the mission is. Matt has talked about this too. What did he say? I read it right here on the show. When countries lose their capacity to stay focused on their warfighting ability, those countries usually cease to exist, at least at the way that we originally were. We're going down the same path. And I see this destruction going on in American businesses as well. But it brings me to a simple question. And we're going to go to the break here a little early, which will give us a little time, TJ. Let's get that break teed up. We'll come back to Teddy, give him a little bit more time, and tie this all together. I'll be right back with Big Teddy. He got shot 4 times. We'll let you tell his story, why he joined. You can get to hear it from him firsthand. See you back in a minute. I'm very excited to announce that coming Saturday, March 30th, I'll be in person at the Red Hill VFW presenting for the first time in public my new book, Victory Over Chaos. You get to hear me tell the stories firsthand. You get to see the book and meet me in person. It'll be a great opportunity to do it. There's going to be live music immediately after. Dan Robbins, official, well-known and very popular in the area. You don't want to miss this event, an opportunity to support the VFW, our veterans, and, of course, Project Chaos. That's Saturday, March 30th, 1600 hours. We'll be at the Red Hill VFW. That's in Red Hill, Pennsylvania, of course. I hope you can make it out. The event does not require a VFW membership and will be open to the general public. So mark your calendar for Saturday, March 30th. Invite a few friends and get ready for an exciting evening. See you there. It's not every day that you need a surveyor or civil engineer, but if you're in business, own property, or developing real estate, you know how critical it is to your project to make sure that you get the best. Everything has to be done correctly. It's important that those details are exact to ensure the success of the project. Well, my good friend Michael Tacconelli from STA Engineering is the best there is. It was my first job when I got home from the Marine Corps, working on a survey crew, while Michael back then was the party chief. We hit it off well because of his relentless, disciplined approach. It was something that I agreed with. And I learned a little bit about surveying, an ancient craft that's now done with modern tools, but it still requires a high level of skill and professional expertise. Michael and his team bring all three, skill, expertise, and of course all the latest tools and technology. The entire package of surveying and engineering, allowing them to provide builders and developers, businesses and property owners with reliable survey, design and engineering for land development projects in southeastern Pennsylvania. For your next project, you're going to want to make sure you have the best possible support. Do yourself a favor and hire Michael Tacconelli, STA Engineering. They're already serving some of the area's largest developers, and they've done work in just about every municipality in the county. STA Engineering. Ask for Michael Tacconelli. I'm here with my brother, Michael Tacconelli, right here in the studio with me today. He's been a great supporter of the show. I love you, my brother. Everything you've done for me, everything encouraging me to write this book and starting this incredible, incredible journey. I have to tell you, I mean this sincerely. If it were not for the work of my good brother telling me repeatedly, I don't know how he stays patient with me. I got to keep moving today, though. I got something crazy to tell you, brah. This is how much... I'd say we were talking on the way down how much magical stuff. I just got this text from Teddy Daniels. We're launching our book tour. You just heard the promo. You know where Teddy Daniels is from? Red Hill. What are the chances? Okay. But let me tell this story. It's amazing, right? I met Teddy Daniels at a Phyllis Schlafly Award ceremony. He was campaigning with Doug Mastriano. Doug Mastriano, Army veteran as well, was running for governor here in Pennsylvania. Teddy Daniels was running for lieutenant governor. We had General Mike Flynn at that dinner. That's a story in itself. I did a veteran statement, then I introduced Teddy Daniels, which was a huge, huge honor for me. I said this already, Teddy Daniels in the Army got shot. And I want to get Teddy Daniels' story as a veteran to veteran. We've never really had this discussion, and I'm so looking forward to it. And my first question to kick this off, Teddy, my first question to you is... would you allow, you have a young son, at this juncture, and I know it's a little early, would you allow him or recommend him to join the Army like you did?
Chris, first off, I want to say thanks for having me on. Brother, this is a complete and total honor for me to be on your show. Like, brother, you are a king in radio, and you've got the voice for it, okay?
Brother, so, I can't thank you enough coming from you, man. Thank you so much for that.
But no, my little boy, my youngest, Chris, I've got four sons, and my oldest actually talked to me about wanting to join the military. And I told him, I said, listen, I think you can go do so many other things than go join the military. My youngest, brother, here's, I'm not going to dictate. If my son is hell-bent on going and joining the military, hey, go do it. I'll support you. But if he comes to me with a question and says, what do you think? Ultimately, it's going to be, you know what, Jack? It's your choice. Here's my opinion. But I will support you either way.
Yeah.
So that's how the conversation would go.
Yeah. Well, I should have known I was going to open up something deeper there. You know, my son's on active duty. He's TAC-P in the Air Force. He's a house.
Oh, very
Air Force boot camp, the basic school, and then the schoolhouse, all three levels, bro. He was the honor grad, top grad. And I like I tell this story fondly. For the schoolhouse there, that attracts other branches and officers. He beat a Marine Recon captain, and the Marine Recon captain wasn't too happy. But I understand where you're coming from on that. But I want to get into your story, too. Thanks for getting into that with me. Teddy, why did you join? You came from a family of veterans. You've got lots of talents and skills, my brother. I learned a lot just in a short time with you. Thank you. Why'd you join?
Brother, you know, this country's been so good to me. You know, I felt like I had to do my part. Now, my lineage goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War. My sixth great-grandfather was a captain in the Virginia Militia during the American Revolution.
That's amazing.
The cool part about that, Andrew Hatfield Supley, and if you know anything about Hatfield, Pennsylvania, there's relation there.
Okay? Yes, wow.
Yes. So after the war, he was actually recruited by Daniel Boone to lead Daniel Boone on a surveying expedition through West Virginia and Kentucky. So I've had relatives serve in the Civil War, World War I. I've had relatives charge San Juan Hill with Teddy Roosevelt, World War II, Vietnam. And, brother, you know, I felt it was my time, and I enlisted late in life. I was working as a police officer. I had done about 15 years as a cop, and I was a deputy chief of police, and I found myself sitting behind a desk, approving reports, doing inspections, and I thought to myself, have I peaked? At 35, like, is this it? Is this what the rest of my life is going
Teddy,
to be?
Teddy, I got to interrupt you 1 second, because you're telling this like veteran to veteran, and I know where you're going, but we need to break this down a little bit for the traveling public here. Listen, this guy had a nice, cushy job. I don't need to know this. Was it in Pennsylvania, Teddy?
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
So as a deputy, you were making, I don't, you were a nice five-figure salary, beautiful retirement in front of you. You had the deputy spot is the spot to be. Everybody thinks the chief. That's not true. It's that second spot is the sweet. You had it easy, bro. All you had to do was sit there and soak it all up. And you made a different choice. And I talked about this a little. You saw the action and you ran towards it. And that's the kind of guy you are. You sitting here saying it so casually, and it's a huge deal that you got up. You just walked away from your career to go serve your country. Were you in Red Hill at that time? Where were you? Where'd you come from when you joined the Army?
I grew up in Red Hill. Moved to Red Hill when I was about 10 years old. My family moved there, and that's where I grew up, buddy. I've been to that VFW in my early 20s.
Hell yeah.
Numerous times. So I told you, buddy, I'm a small town guy. you know, and it doesn't get much more small town than Red Hill, and I love it, and I love growing up there.
Thanks for saying that, actually. I've been a little remiss. Let me throw a little shout out here. I hate saying that like that. Tom Sally, Air Force veteran, runs that VFW in Red Hill. I went up there to do a little recon mission. I got to tell you something. Of course, I'm saying this to promote the book show because, you know, or the book tour because we want everybody there. But I'm telling you, they got it going on out there. That is a happening VFW. We're actually a little concerned about parking arrangements for this event. We're expecting a lot of people, but that's cool. And by the way, I graduated high school. I was living in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. Who knew my brother? And actually, my aunt lived up in Red Hill. There was a chance we'd cross paths on the playground around 10 years old. Who knows? But
yeah, we may have. We may have, brother.
So you go down, you go to boot camp, you go into infantry school, right?
Oh, it gets better. So, like, I initially walked into a Marine Corps recruiter. I figured you'd appreciate that. And I walked into a Marine Corps recruiter, and I said, hey, I want to enlist. And he goes, how old are you? I said, I'm 35. And he said, our cutoff's 27. But try next door. The Army will take anybody. So, brother, I went next door. I walked in, and two sergeants stood up. They came over. They shook my hand, and they said, how you doing, sir? Whose father are you?
And this is great.
I said, no, guys, I'm here to enlist. And they were like, well, you want to go, you know, reserves, National Guard, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, no, I want to go active duty. I want to do something cool, but I'm not sure what I want to do yet. So they had a bus leaving from the recruiting center there that afternoon. And they said, hey, hop on the bus, go take your ASVAB. We'll have your results when you come back. I came back. And they had my results in. They said, listen, you can do any job you want to do in the military. You name it, you qualify for it. And I said, you know, I've been reading about this infantry stuff. Looks pretty cool. That's what I want to do. These guys looked at me like I had a mental illness.
I'm sure they did. Said, let me catch everybody up real quick. I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but I got to add a little bit to that. You remind me of my brother, Big Mike from Kokomo. We had him on a couple weeks ago. He's a big dude, too. Here's the thing. You know, and I don't want to say, like, I know you real well, Teddy. We met a couple times. I spent some time on the phone with you. But I will say this from that short time. This guy's brilliant. You know, this is not, you know, you're going to get this idea that, you know, infantry and you know, low IQs. The guy just aced the ASVAB, qualified for, he comes off a cushy desk job. He's going to walk away, going to go down there. What do you want to do? You could do whatever you want. Electronics. Probably, I don't know, Army aviation, helicopters, whatever you want to do, and you picked infantry.
Yeah, and Chris, the reason I picked infantry, and they told me, they were like, you do realize what this is, right? And I said, yeah, I realize exactly what it is. And they said, you know, you're an older guy. This is going to be tough. And I said, perfect. And they said, why perfect? I said, I'm walking away from a career that I love. This has to mean something to me. I don't want easy. I want it to be hard so I feel challenged and I appreciate the accomplishment. You know, Chris, so many people nowadays can go do easy. Easy's out there every step of the way. I wanted to be challenged, and that's why I went infantry, brother.
Hoorah. Semper Fidelis, my brother. So great to hear your voice. So you get in there, you go to infantry school. And I could definitely get the picture of, you know, which one of these doesn't belong with the other. You're a little out of place down there. Now you get out to your unit at some point. Where did you end up then? Did you end up at a duty station?
I ended up with the 4th Infantry Division at Fort Carson, Colorado.
Very nice. Very nice. So during your time, let's say, you could say pre-deployment, was there anybody in particular that influenced you? What influenced you throughout your military career, person or people?
Oh, boy. While I was in, I actually had a sergeant major. He was actually the brigade sergeant major, Command Sergeant Major Kevin Griffin. And we were about the same age, brother. And I went in as a PFC, and he was a Command Sergeant Major. He was a big football fan. I obviously played my college ball at West Virginia University. And he treated me like a man. He didn't treat me like one of the 18-year-old kids coming in. He knew my background, treated me like a man, and put a lot of responsibility on me. And I was appreciative of that. I really was.
That's great, man. I can see that you would be well received. So how long were you in before you got your orders to deploy?
Oh, boy. I got to Fort Carson that summer. I actually reported a week early. And it was about 3 months later, 3 to 4 months later, we got our orders to deploy. And it was actually this day, March 11th, 2012, I was on a flight to Afghanistan.
So you know you're going. And what point were we in the conflict in Afghanistan at that point, Teddy?
Well, I'll tell you what, 2011, 2012, and 2013 were the 3 years of the highest casualties in Afghanistan. And my orders were for Kunar province. And when I initially got my orders, I didn't know much about Afghanistan. And, you know, I had other buddies on post who had deployed before. And, you know, they were like, where are you going? And I said, oh, I'm going to Kunar. And they were like, oh, man. And I was like, what do you mean, old man? Like, don't say that like it's a bad thing. And they were like, nah, dude, that's a bad thing. Like, Kunar's ugly. And I started to do my research on Kunar province. And then I was like, yeah, this is the real deal. Like, I'm actually going. And this is where I'm going to be.
What was the unit like, Teddy? How was the unit cohesion? What was the mindset of the unit? Like, was everybody ready to go?
It was tight. It was real tight. Like, brother, like, we were hard chargers and door kickers, man. And, you know, we just wanted to go break off a piece and get some of ours.
So you're saying it. I said this the other day, Teddy. You just said something very important. And it's something that we don't really like to talk about. But I think the time has become that it's necessary. You guys wanted to go fight, didn't you?
Absolutely. That's why I went infantry too, brother.
Yep. Same.
Like, why do it if I'm not going to go fight?
Right. Were you scared?
So, yeah, everybody was scared.
What made you scared?
I'd be lying to you if I was scared.
What were you scared of?
Yeah, you know, dying.
You came pretty close.
Afraid of dying? Yeah, you know, what else is there to be afraid of, brother?
Yeah.
I was just talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and a buddy of mine that I deployed with, and I said, you know, I said, in a lot of ways, life was easier downrange. All you had to worry about was staying alive.
Yeah.
You didn't have bills to pay. You didn't have kids to raise. You know, you didn't have car payments to worry about. All you had to do was stay alive. That was it. Life was so much simpler.
No, it wasn't. I'm going to interrupt you on that. Listen, I've had this conversation with so many veterans myself. I know we all romanticize. You know, for me, I was artillery, so being back on the gun line. I'm pretty sure if I was back there today, I would have a little different perspective, my brother. It's a weird phenomenon to talk about. But you'd go back in a second, wouldn't you?
I would, in a heartbeat.
Yep.
In a heartbeat. But now that, brother, since I've become more politically in tune to things, I wouldn't go fight for anybody right now.
Let's get to the politics part. Hold on. We got to do this in order so everybody, because not everybody knows your story. Yeah. So you get over there, you get on the ground, you guys are with a good unit, a crack unit, and you guys are ready to go. And why don't you take me to the day you got hit there, Teddy? What were you guys doing? Were you doing some kind of patrol? Was it guard duty? What were you doing?
No, so we actually stayed the night at an Afghan Army outpost. I guess at the – trying to find the right terminology, brother. I guess at the gateway to this valley, to the Bedell Valley. And we had a young lieutenant, and there were 8 of us. And he said, you know what, we're going to take this ridge line up, and we're going to follow this ridge line all the way out into the valley, and we're going to do some recon on this village and maybe stir the pot a little bit. Like, it's almost like they were out looking for a fight, okay? Let's stir the pot a little bit and see what we can get. So we're sitting, we're doing overwatch for about 45 minutes, and nothing. Village was quiet. No movement, no nothing. So it was an open face on that mountain heading down towards the village, and he goes, let's just head down over you know, the front of the mountain here, and we'll hook up on that old trail and take our time getting back to the outpost. As soon as we were about a quarter way down, all hell just opened up on us. I was second in the stack. Our lieutenant obviously was first. He dove on the ground, dropped his weapon. Rounds are hitting all around him. And they had us pinned down pretty good. And my first instinct was, right, wrong, or indifferent, somebody's got to do something. So I just happened to be the one in the position in the stack and where I was on that hill to do it. And I came out and I drew fire. I drew it away and to the right and gave our guys a fighting chance to recover from being pinned down to shoot, move, and communicate. So that's kind of where it all started.
Let me retell this story and tell me if I get any of it. You stop me if I get any of it wrong. Well, first of all, was it what size unit? Was it a platoon that you guys had out there or a squad?
No, just a squad. It was eight of us.
Eight. Do you guys have a comm? Do you have a radio?
The lieutenant did.
Yeah. All right. So he's on the ground. So there goes your air support, right? So you guys are out there.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Chris, here's something that is in the story that never gets told. We had no air on station for this mission. We passed a grid line on the map into an area that you were required to have air support on station. We didn't have that. So somebody screwed the pooch there, if you know what I'm saying. No. So air support at that point would have been futile.
Got it. Thank you for adding that point in there. So let me just mark the highlights of this again. So you guys, you go in, you deploy, you go into this hot territory. You know it's hot going in there, but you guys are ready for it. You get pushed out on this outpost out in the middle of some rock out in the middle of nowhere. There's not really any intel. You don't have the proper fire support, but nobody really even is assessing it. I've said this story so many times myself. My own experience is it gets very quiet before it's not. Every time, man. And you sit, and it's a sign, right? You probably felt that before. Like, it's too quiet, right? And all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Now, and I need to drill this in before we get to part two of this conversation. The character of the man, or the guy sitting here casually telling you the story, and boom, now, move, it happens. There's no more time to think. But guys are dropping on the ground. You don't know who's getting hit. You don't know when the next one's coming. There's not a lot of time to process this. You don't call for a timeout. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, there's nothing. It's complete pandemonium, complete chaos. You could see it in the video. And, you know, this is how you see them coming. So now you got to make a decision now. And that decision comes from you don't have time to think about it. Why I've asked you those questions. You saw the fire. You ran toward every step of this journey. It's been the same damn Teddy without any hesitation. Now, you know that those 7.62 rounds suck coming in, don't they, man? That's some big lead. It hurts.
They do, brother.
It hurts. Yep. I heard you scream out, you know, in the video, and I heard you talk about it, man. I heard you talk. You're like, I never screamed out like that. And, you know, you hear, and I'm like, man, I can't imagine, you know, that bullet ripping through with that velocity. But you got up. I said, why? Why you got shot is the story. Other people have been shot, not to take anything away from that. But it's the why you did it. This guy gets up and says, listen, if somebody doesn't do something, we're all going to be dead. And it's another one of those examples. If not you, then who? You were the only guy, and you did it, my brother. And that's the Teddy Daniels story right there and why I love you so much. You're a fighter. You've been a fighter. It's never even been a question for you. Now you come home, you experience all that, and you've been well decorated for that, justly deserved, Purple Heart, Combat Action Ribbon. I've seen this myself. But then you decide that you look at what's going on in the country and you want to make it different. Let's pick it up there. How'd you get into politics? Tell us the story, Teddy.
Oh boy. So I said when I got back, I supported Trump in 2015. And I was living back in Montgomery County at the time. And Chris, as you know, Montgomery County is not exactly Trump country. So I had a Trump flag on the outside of my house. My car was getting keyed. And just the national media would describe all Trump supporters as racists and homophobes and xenophobes. Chris, I don't even know what a xenophobe is.
Me either, brother.
Okay, and it's like, I'm sitting there and I'm watching this on TV and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not any of these things. Is it just because I'm supporting this man who is laying waste to the establishment? Is that why I'm being called all these things? And it wasn't Trump that got me into politics. I think it was the political elites and the media's reaction to Trump that got me into politics. And I thought, man, they really hate this guy.
But what was it, Teddy? But what was it? What was it that drew you in? Because you saw that it was wrong. What was going on? Am I right?
Of course I saw it was wrong. And it was people who had their heads in the sand who had the loudest opinions on things. It was those who were uninformed who had the loudest opinion on things. And brother, here's the thing. Like, this is America. Everybody can have an opinion. That's the great thing about this country. But when you start putting down the other side based on their opinion or your opinion does not match theirs, that's when it kind of starts to become a problem. Honest with you, when Trump got into office and he started the whole VA accountability, during that firefight, I broke my right foot in four spots. And I went to the VA when I was out. They did surgery and, you know, they supposedly fixed it. Well, they didn't fix it. They screwed the surgery. So I went back to the VA and they said, well, we can amputate below the knee. And I was like, well, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Cut this thing off so I can start walking comfortably again. And my wife at the time was like, no, that's not going to happen. And Trump instituted the Veterans Choice Policy to where we could go out of network to get the care that we needed. And we found a doctor who said, hey, I can fix your foot. It's going to be weight bearing, but you'll get to keep it. So,
holy cow. I never knew that story, my brother. I got to take a quick break here. Yeah. I want to have you back if you could stay with us. I got plenty of time here for you. I never knew that. Yeah. Everything you've sacrificed and done. We'll be right back with Teddy Daniels in just a minute. Stay tuned. I'm very excited to announce that coming Saturday, March 30th, I'll be in person at the Red Hill VFW presenting for the first time in public my new book, Victory Over Chaos. You get to hear me tell the stories firsthand. You get to see the book and meet me in person. It'll be a great opportunity to do it. There's going to be live music immediately after. Dan Robbins, official, well-known and very popular in the area. You don't want to miss this event, an opportunity to support the VFW, our veterans, and of course, Project Chaos. That's Saturday, March 30th, 1600 hours. We'll be at the Red Hill VFW. That's in Red Hill, Pennsylvania, of course. I hope you can make it out. The event does not require a VFW membership and will be open to the general public. So mark your calendar for Saturday, March 30th. Invite a few friends and get ready for an exciting evening. See you there. If you're looking for a veterans organization that you can support, I hope that you'll consider supporting Veterans in Need at Top of Illinois Veterans Stand Down, led by my brother Ron, a dedicated veteran. They host an annual event providing essentials to veterans from meals, clothing, to VA benefits help, and even haircuts. Every bit of assistance is significant, especially from fellow veterans. The organization thrives on donations sent to P.O. Box 477, Cherryvale, Illinois, 61016. Ron's commitment is unwavering, but he can't do it alone. If you're in a position to give, your contribution can make a real impact. Stand with us at Top of Illinois Veterans Stand Down because our veterans deserve your support. I saw Ron not too long ago out in Albuquerque. I was so proud to hear what he's doing, and he's a great guy to do it. If helping a veterans organization is on your list, please consider helping my brother Ron. Top of Illinois Veterans Stand Down, P.O. Box 477, Cherryvale, Illinois, 61016. We're back. Project Chaos here with my brother Teddy Daniels, shot four times in Afghanistan. I hope you sense a little pattern if you've been listening so far. This is not a guy that backs down. This is not a guy who walks away from a fight. Comes home, and he's shared some important details. This is a good old boy from a small local town, family, military. He had a cushy job, could have just stayed doing that, minded his own business. Sees that his country needs him, goes and packs up and goes off a million miles away to fight in a war they didn't even know anything about. Goes over there, gets shot, busts up his foot in the process. I never even knew, Teddy. Goes to the VA. They're like, well, we're going to have to cut it off. He's like, whatever it's going to take to get me back in action. This is the way this guy thinks. And I would say to you, for people that think differently, you might want to take a few notes, but let me tell you why I'm most proud of what we're doing here. Look, I've said this, and I don't mean to take anything away from anybody's service. You know, other people have been shot. Other people have been in fire. I have not. Just to be clear, my hat's off to you. I have all the respect in the world for you. But that's not why I'm doing this. That's not the part that you can get war stories a dime a dozen, really, when you think about it. What I wanted to talk about was the lies. The lies and the damage that's done, all this, you get into to politics, Teddy, they attacked your family. They attacked everything. They even tell us the stolen valor story. This one just makes me laugh. I think veterans listening.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. So I know I can't use the language that I want to use, Chris, so I won't.
I appreciate it.
All right? So you guys can kind of fill in the blanks on what I want to say. So I hate politicians, first and foremost, because politicians use veterans as shiny ornaments. Okay, oh, we love our vets. Come here, Teddy, let's get a picture. Come here, Teddy. Teddy, come speak at our event. Come do this, come do that. But boy, when you turn your paperwork in that you're going to run for office, you become public enemy number one, especially as a veteran. And veterans are shiny in politics. So they want to throw mud to try to dull that shine. And the first thing, and it's like, I don't know, Chris, if there's a scumbag playbook. But if there's a scumbag playbook, that's the first thing that they do to any veteran I've ever seen that has run for office is somebody stands up and they yell, stolen valor. Okay? And I'm like, stolen valor. Oh, yeah. So my helmet cam video wasn't real.
it's all fake.
You know, apparently my overseas ribbon is not on my DD-214. So I guess, you know, where did I get shot? Baltimore? Okay. Where did I film that? So it's like the stupidity of these people. So my... Brother, you know how I don't know what they call it in the Marine Corps, but in the Army, it's the S shop. It's a bunch of paper pushers.
Yes, same.
And okay, so I have my certificates and orders for every single item that is on my ribbon rack. All right. Now, there are, let's see, I'm actually sitting in my office now. I'll turn around, look at that. There are two that are not on my DD-214. But I've got the orders and the certificates for. In the Army, they give them to you in one of those little green folders. So I get called stolen valor. And I'm like, guys, I have a combat infantry badge and a Purple Heart.
And they're accusing you why of not deploying.
Why would I fabricate an Army Commendation Medal? Like, are you for real?
Right.
Like, are you kidding? And... But it's stolen valor. You know, I'm stolen valor. Everything about me is fake, Chris, according to...
Let me tell this story real quick, Teddy, so that the non-vets would understand. Because every veteran understands completely what you're saying. I just put this out in an email to our listeners. I put a photograph of me. We got home from deployment, I want to say mid to late March. The photographs were taken for an IG inspection December of that year, full 8-9 months mm-hmm. later, and I've only got 4 ribbons on. And to your story, my DD-214 omits one of my ribbons. And what happens here, my point about this, it's not the service members that are creating this problem. How is it we're back 9 months from deployment? We still don't have the stinking awards. You're getting discharged, same as me. There's a ribbon that I have that is not listed on my DD-214. It was a unit ribbon. I mean, the award of that ribbon is well known, no question about it. And my point about all that is, if you simply watch the video, the whole stolen valor case is a ridiculous argument.
Well, hey, Chris, we've talked, okay? And it's like, I'm thankful. People have elevated me to the status that I live rent-free in their heads. I'm thankful that they think that I'm like this big figure that they have pages dedicated to me. So, like, I think they're the only ones that think that I'm better than they are.
Yep.
You know? That's the way I look at it. And brother, I'm about helping people up, not pulling people down. And, you know, there are people out there, and Chris, I'm sure you have them too. And anybody who's achieved anything in life or anybody who gets some sort of notoriety, you're going to have mentally ill people behind a keyboard shooting their mouth off, thinking as if they know you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just not the case.
No, and some of this gets very, very damaging. And I'll just run through this real quick because I saw it happen to you, and we don't need to go in, you know, and give airtime to all these disgusting attacks. But it's a very familiar playbook that I see. And it goes beyond just the political races, Teddy. Veterans have been labeled as, you know, domestic terrorists, crazed PTSD-ridden lunatics, homeless, can't take care of ourselves, when it is so completely untrue. And I think for a lot of veterans, these vicious lies begin to take a toll on some people. You're a fighter, my brother. You stand up for yourself. I'm so proud to be here with you. I know you in that. And that's why I applaud your whole statement. I'm so glad I get to live in people's heads rent-free. What did I say to you? I said, let's break the internet today. Let's get a little payback. You know, that's how we roll. But you know, there's people that can't handle all that. And I think what I'm trying to say here, we're not going to change that right now. Nothing we could do about it. But I wanted to just point out the striking difference I'm trying to illustrate, right? The Battle of Kafji. Everybody else is running. We're running in. Everything you've told, Teddy, you're running towards the fire. You come home, and these panty wastes in our government political system make up these vicious, baseless lies that they do against every single veteran. And it's really a shame to me that it's allowed to go on. The veterans have to be subjected to all this. And like I said, I think it's a lot more than just the politics. But you ended up having a great race there with Doug Mastriano, and the whole campaign was high energy. I think you did a great job. Would you do that over again? You have any plans to get back into politics?
No, my life is different now, Chris. And I'm actually, and again, you know, we talk from time to time, and I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I live a few blocks from the beach now down here in South Carolina, and I run my own holding company. And, you know, I think I can do more behind a microphone, and I am starting a political action committee, a PAC, to go out and support good candidates and destroy bad ones. And, you know, I think I can do more good like that. I've been asked already down here in South Carolina to step up and run for a state office. And Chris, you know what? I'm a full-time single dad to a 6-year-old little boy. And, you know, his mother passed last year. And so it's me and him. So that's kind of my priority right now.
Yeah.
And he's always going to be my priority. And I'll be honest with you, politics has done enough damage to my family because of these scumbags out there who just freely throw false allegations around. And, you know, I got to protect my son.
I just say this.
I've been in my house already, brother. stalkers at my house in South Carolina that came from five states away due to politics. Think about that.
And you mentioned that to me. I'll just tell you right now, you ever need any security, just put out the call. We'll send some boys down there to help you out.
I appreciate that, brother. I told the cop when he was here taking the report, I said, this guy comes back, I'm just letting you know, I'm putting rounds through the door.
Yeah.
So
I don't blame. I'm going to defend myself. Teddy, let me switch gears with you for a second. We're gonna run out of time here in a couple. I got to talk to you for 4 hours, brother. And you do. You have an incredible voice. Your social media presence is incredible. You're always great on the radio. But I wanted to switch gears a little bit for you. As far as your time in the Army, in the military, was there a favorite time that you had?
While I was deployed, believe it or not, it was the time I got to do my job. And I enjoyed the tests. I felt like I was being tested. And it was challenging. And I enjoyed that. Garrison life was boring to me, brother. I hated garrison life. But being downrange, being deployed, and, you know, expecting the unexpected, that I enjoyed that. I'm going to use your word chaos. I'm one of those guys that I think I thrive under chaos. When things are slow and boring, I can't stand it. But when things get hectic and chaotic, and everyone else is losing their minds, that's when I feel I operate the best.
I'm so glad you said that, Teddy. That's perfect, bro. And this whole Project Chaos, you know, bringing that clarity, I'm saying to the public, you just said it. We need to be listening to what men like Teddy are saying. You don't have to agree with everything Teddy says. And we're talking this morning. I think we did end up agreeing on everything, but he might not agree with me on this.
We did.
What's that, Teddy?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah.
I said we did.
Yeah. We respect the different opinions. We respect it. You know, we don't attack it.
I will have a conversation with anybody about anything, even if they're on the quote unquote opposing side. I will sit down intelligently and have a discussion. But it's when the childishness and the name calling and everything else comes that I'm like, you know what? Obviously, you can't have a conversation like an adult. So I'm just going to end this now because it takes two people to argue, brother.
I'm going to explain the why real quick on this, because people need to understand this for, you know, when a great candidate like you does come along. I've said it before. Look, here's a guy who says, I'm going to pay it forward completely up until the price of my life. And then the guy who's giving you a hard time on stage never sacrifices anything for anybody, never has. He's there in it for himself. That's the difference. You're there trying to build a country. He's in it for himself. Teddy, I just got the countdown here. We got about 3 minutes, and I want to ask you this. From your time in the military, is there anything that you're grateful for from it? Are you happy you did it? Is there something you're grateful you took away from it? You've endured a lot. It's a lot of pain. You have pain today. I bet you do. How's that all panned out? What are you grateful for from the Army?
Well, first and foremost, I'm grateful to be alive. And second off, brother, I served with some great young men, incredible
Amen.
Young men,
yes.
brave young men. And, you know, I was in there, I was about twice their age. And it gave me a lot of hope for the future of this country, for future generations, that there are still younger folks out there ready to go put it all on the line for love of country. And that's what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful I got to see that. I'm grateful for the men, the young men that I served with, who in numerous ways showed me what courage and bravery is. And like there's a lot of heroes out there, Chris. I always say I'm not a hero, but I served with a whole bunch of them. And a lot of hope for the future of this country with what I saw.
Teddy, man, you just inspired the hell out of me, and I hope everybody listening got the same of what you're saying. You know, the way this guy thinks, and what is he saying? You look at everything that's going on in our country right now, things falling apart, a moral and leadership crisis on every level, and our future lies in these young people. And instead of propping them up and building them up and giving them an opportunity, we're beating them down and calling them bad and evil for every good thing that they've done. Teddy, I got 1 minute left, bro. Is there anything we could do for you, a website people can go visit? Where can people find out more about Teddy Daniels?
Oh, you can go to my social media, Facebook. It's Teddy Daniels. It's the blue check verified. People try to clone my stuff all the time. TeddyDaniels.tv is my website, and you can find me on Twitter under Teddy Daniels. And Chris, brother, thank you so much for having me on, man. This was fun.
Teddy, the promo video, that we threw out is literally blowing up the internet. If anybody wants to see the promo video, I put it right on the homepage there at projectchaos.org. Teddy, you're the man. I love you, man. You're a fighter. Keep up the fight, and hopefully we can have you back on another time. I really appreciate you taking the time to come in here from South Carolina. We're wrapping up the show. Project Chaos will be back next Monday at 4 o'clock. You can always get all the replays, great quality, at projectchaos.org. And there's bonus material there that you can get as well. More podcasts in the radio show. So be sure to check that out. If you're enjoying listening today, you're going to want to go visit projectchaos.org. And while you're there, sign up for my email list. We don't spam. We don't sell anything. But you're going to want to stay in touch. Thanks to the sound engineers here at WWDB. We appreciate the support. Great work. Thank you again. The warrior, the man, Teddy Daniels. We'll see you next week.